found a very interesting article in one of the old Vision magazines, 1969, and so many of you are meeting together in Bhajan sessions now, prayer sessions. I thought you might be interested in listening to this. Swami Ramdas has entitled this, Break Down Barriers. The realization of the highest spiritual life is tantamount to the attainment of equal vision towards all humanity and the resultant love for them all. God is not merely a reality dwelling above and beyond the creation and the creatures living in it. He is an immanent and all-pervading truth residing in the hearts of all beings. Hence it is enjoined upon the spiritual aspirant to cultivate love and kindness towards all those who come in his or her contact. The love which the devotee pours out resolves all apparent differences and grants him the experience of the one spirit which is the substratum of all that exists. True religion, therefore, signifies the linking of the individual soul with the cosmic soul. The soul does not belong to any caste, creed, race, or nationality. Its nature is universal. Inherently, it is pure, enlightened, free, and blissful. As the aspirant progresses on the spiritual path, he sheds the ignorance-born sense of diversity founded on traditional and other considerations and looks upon everybody as the expression of divinity seated in his own heart. A man, when born, does not carry any mark or label of his superiority or inferiority over his fellow beings. He departs this life as he came, shorn of all the appurtenances with which he was clothed during his brief span of life on the earth, such as of wealth, of learning, of caste, of color, of status, and of culture. He alone has the true spiritual experience, who has realized the pristine glory of the Spirit, his true being, and experiences the ineffable joy of union with it. The object of congregational prayers and bhajans is to develop broadness of vision and expand the heart so that it may embrace all people as members of a common family. It is the spirit of brotherhood that takes the aspirant nearer God. So long as a human being is obsessed by egoism, thus making him feel that he is an individual separate from the world existence, he lives, as it were, in a mental prison, shutting out the light, power, and joy of the divine. When devotees sing the name and glories of God together, or sit in a prayerful attitude and in meditation of the Supreme Being, they should transcend the physical limitations and rise to the divine ecstasy, which dissolves all distinctions and grants them the knowledge of their identity with the highest. So in all the inner and outer sadhanas that they perform, let them see to it that they break down the barriers that prevent them from freely communing with each other in the light of the Spirit. Let them be simple seekers of God and strive to mingle the pure stream of their lives with the ocean of divine existence. This is the way to attain the beatitude of a fully illumined, liberated, and divinized life. Then down here there's an excerpt, or rather I should say a little thing that's put in here. Man shuffles off his finite human consciousness and knows that he is divine. Therefore it is said that man is God playing the fool. When he gives up the folly, he attains freedom by realizing that he is God. Freedom belongs to God and bondage to man. When bondage is removed, that is when God himself throws off the mask of ignorance that he has put on of his own accord. He knows himself. He puts on the mask and shows that he is a man bound by so many ties. He throws off the mask and declares that he is free. Thus, it is not man attaining freedom, but only God shuffling off the mask and revealing himself. God, who is seated in the heart of everyone, reveals himself in the heart when he chooses. He does not come into us from outside. He already dwells within. I very much approve of these bhajans that we are having. I have never attended one myself of the group here, but I am told by many who go that they have very uplifting experiences. And you know, you get out of something what you put into it. And so if you go in deep humility, with love in your heart, and the desire to experience the benefit that Jesus spoke of when he said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there shall I be in the midst of them. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So when you can really lift yourself up, when you can put yourself into these experiences wholeheartedly, you will advance that much more rapidly. And indeed, you will find that you have joined and taken unto yourself a spiritual family. Now tonight I'd like to read to you from St. John chapter 12, beginning with verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I have chosen as a title for my talk tonight, Seek Your Own Glory. Now when I say own, I'm not speaking of the little ego, but of God within you. Because within you is the Son of God. But before you can experience this in all of its totality, you must glorify the Son of Man, which is your human ego. That is a very difficult task to do. And yet it is the simplest thing in the world. The very simplest. There are many people, and I know some of them, who spend all of their days searching out special information in some of the scriptures and in some of the holy writings that have been given to us down through the centuries. This comes from both East and West. And they think by spending all of this time, by perhaps digging out some new thought, some new sentence, some new technique, that they will contribute toward the enlightenment of mankind. Now, to some degree, this is true. We cannot discount anything that will appeal to an individual or inspire him. But you know, the people who constantly are striving for intellectual information, who are constantly looking merely at the ways and the means and not at the goal, don't go very far very fast. And this is the truth. Going to God is so simple, the way all of us are doing it here. We ask so little that you do, except to keep your attention fully fixed upon God at all times. You are given the technique of searching for the spiritual eye, which is to be found right within your own being, of how to open the vision in that eye and to explore worlds unknown. You are taught a simple method for breath control simply by watching yourself breathe in and out with a couple of sacred Sanskrit words which mean, I am He. You are taught the Om Sound. You are taught rejuvenation exercises, and you are given that blessed technique, which is the greatest of all techniques known to man, the Kriya technique, and through the Kriya ceremony. And through these few simple things and living a good life with your attention ever fixed upon God, you can make the most tremendous progress with the least amount of effort, if you only will. You know, it's an amazing thing sometimes when you keep putting things off that you know very well you should be doing. You know that you should do them every day of your life. Going to God isn't difficult. Do you think that you have to spend 8 or 10 hours a day in meditation in order to get the final results? You don't. You know you can make your whole life one long meditation just by dedicating all thoughts, all words, all actions to Him, of surrendering yourself to Him completely, of accepting every experience which comes to you as being the will of God, accepting it gracefully, joyfully, knowing that this is a lesson which your Father thinks you need in order that your consciousness might grow, in order that it might expand, that your heart might expand, and take you ever closer to that day when you will truly be lifted up within your own being into that heaven, that paradise, where God resides right within you. Ye are the temple of God. The paradise, the lost paradise, is right within you. Man has lost it, it is true, because believe me, in this world today, he is seeking only gain. He is seeking monetary reward constantly. Almost every thought, every word, every action is put forth from himself with the idea of how much money can I make? How much can I get out of this? Instead of how greatly can I serve the Lord? What else can I do to surrender myself to him totally? What must I do never to keep him from my consciousness? Swami Ramdas found the answer to that in a most terrific way. He repeated the name of God constantly. The name of God was never off of his lips day and night. He didn't even sleep many's the day, many's the night, in order that he might not forget God. He was afraid that even by going to sleep, that his attention would be diverted and he would lose spiritual ground. And this man, through this simple method, went all the way to God. He got the universal vision, and he became a light to light the way for thousands and thousands on the path. And although he has been gone now for over 10 years, still his words of truth, his spirit, is seated in the hearts of men everywhere, and they are being lifted up. They are seeking a better, a higher life because of the sacrifice and the life of this one man. Many people don't like this word sacrifice. And if they do sacrifice many times, they feel like martyrs. I have given so much. But look at all God has given us. Did you ever stop to think how eternally blessed we are? Just the privilege of having this life, this wonderful body that we have to live in, this temple not made with hands. How it works without any help from us, day and night, minute by minute, always striving to serve in every way. How wonderful all of this is. We think of the things that we are given on the outside, the sun and the moon and the stars, and the rain and the wind, and all the wonderful beauty of God's nature. How blessed we are indeed. And when we come across an adverse situation in our lives, do we ever stop to think that this is for our growth? We constantly say we want to get closer to God. Many say they want God illumination, God realization. And yet at the first little breeze, they run like mad. They don't want it to touch them because they might have to pay a little price in suffering. It is good to suffer sometimes. And as Ramdas once said, pain also is bliss. And this is true. You can rise above the pain in your body. I know this because I do it constantly. This body is scarcely ever out of pain, and it hasn't been for a good long time, years. Sometimes it's been relieved a little, but not for long. And yet, because my mind is ever upon God, and as I've told you before, this is my brother donkey, this body that I make serve me. It gets up and it gets going, and it does what God within it directs it to do. But a greater thing yet happens, that whenever I put my full attention upon Him, I am lifted above this mundane world. I forget I have a body. I forget I have pain. And I am filled with the bliss of His glorious presence. Anyone who has never experienced this bliss of God has missed more than I can ever tell him. Believe me. Because it's an experience that transcends all other human experiences. It is indescribable. Indescribable. You are filled with the power, with the intelligence, with the peace, with the bliss of God. And yet at the same time, it is a very exciting experience. Very exciting. The more you get into it, the greater the depth of your meditation, the more is revealed to you. There are worlds beyond this world of the five senses. If you can penetrate this spiritual eye inside, you will truly come face to face with the light of God within yourself. Also, you will see visions of saints. You, if you have any doubt about whether any particular great master lived, go inside and ask God, and He will reveal Him to you. I remember a very peculiar experience I had many, many years ago with a woman who had formerly been with Master. And she was visiting me at my home. She had joined another order and became quite prominent in it. And we were sitting at the breakfast table one morning. We started talking about the times of Christ. And I guess I thought of it this evening because this is Holy Week. And each of us, I am sure, in this group knows that this is a very, very special week and is devoting special attention to seeing that his body, his mind, his soul is cleansed in preparation for the great event which is to come. We were sitting there talking, and all of a sudden she said, "You know, I was there at that time." I said, "Oh, were you?" "Yes," she said. "And I was there when Jesus was about to be led to his final crucifixion. And I stood behind a column, and I whispered to him, 'Come, come with me, and I will take you someplace and hide you.'" And she said, he looked at me and he said, "Woman, I cannot hide. I must go. I must do what the Lord intended me to do." And she said, "I could not persuade him, no matter how hard I tried." And I thought to myself, this was temptation. Again, come to the Christ. And the wonderful thing about this, you know, all, when you think of him, is that he was so human. He was the Son of Man. He also was tempted for the 40 days during the 40 days in the wilderness. Satan came to him and tempted him in the most drastic way, offering him the whole world if he would only give up his project and follow him. And still he persisted. Now, undoubtedly, the Christ had been here many times before, many times, and had at last come to this perfect state of perfection in another lifetime, so that he was the chosen one, the Christed one, to come and lift up humanity, to show man that he was within each and every one of us. And when I say him, I don't mean his body, not in the outer sense. The body and the blood of Christ, as I explained to you Sunday, is in every man. And if you are lucky, you will experience it, as I did, in very tangible form. But nevertheless, his spirit is within each and every one of us. And as Master said once, he said, when once God creates a human being, he said that one is in his consciousness as a separate and special entity from then on. And everything that one does is registered in the book of life, in the consciousness of God. And when you stop to think about that, when you think of some of the things that you are tempted to do yourself, you might think twice, because it's going to be written down in the book of life. And you're not going to like it when that day of confessing your sins comes, of final judgment comes. Believe me. And the wonderful thing was that Christ still, in this woman's vision, had the power to resist temptation and go on to the end. Ramdas tempted me too. He said to me one day when I made this statement to him, I said, "Papa, I have experienced most all of the things in the New Testament. Do I not also have to go on and finish this?" And Papa said, and I quote, "Mother, you are a great enlightened being." He said, "The scriptures are only for those on the path. Forget the scriptures and realize who you are." Well, this is true. If I could have done that in that moment, you see, it could have been accomplished. And this man who had transcended everything knew that this could be done. But also, I had been told inside that I had to go the way of the cross and the Christ. And I had been taken much of it. And I felt with everything within me the direction to go on and experience the crucifixion, to experience going down into the hell of my own being or the subconscious mind and face my human self, to go through all of that, to die and to rise again to a new birth, to a new life, to be born again as it was in the spirit, to show that it actually could be done. I didn't have any idea other than to get my own God realization. But I knew I couldn't accept that. To me, it was a temptation. And I had to do it no matter how much pain, how much suffering, what it was going to require of me, even my life. I have experienced this Bible, believe me, in most dramatic ways. I can remember, as a matter of fact, way back when, early 1950s, when I may have told you this before, when God asked me if I would confess my sins, and I said, of course, he lifted me up out of body consciousness. But when I came back down again, I was still going to do what I had promised and agreed to, but I was going to decorate them a little bit, you know. I was going to write them all down and embroider them a little bit so that they wouldn't look so bad. But you see, he didn't tell me that he was going to accomplish this in his way, not mine. And so I found myself before a whole congregation one day, and for 6 straight hours, everything that I had done previously in my life poured out of my mouth, and I was totally helpless to stop it. How would you like that to happen to you? I asked you, how would you like it? Well, it was a great experience, I can tell you. My husband tried to stop me. He put me out on the back porch and he gave me a good lecture, and enough so that I calmed down, I guess, a little bit. But I guess I would have gone on forever, you know, because I was getting down to the nitty-gritty. And it was really something. I have experienced all of this, the confession of sins, you see. I have experienced all that this scripture has given in here, in the metaphysical sense. I wasn't nailed to a wooden cross. I was nailed to my own cross by the forces of good and evil within myself, or the positive and the negative forces. As I left the stations of my own cross, which are the 7 spinal centers with the positive and negative forces in them, and 7 times 2 makes 14. And as I contacted each one of these centers in my consciousness, as this serpent or kundalini force rose in my spine, I went into a new and a different plane of consciousness. In one hand, I was lifted up and given the most tremendous revelations. But along with those revelations, there existed the most tremendous pain. And they would come to me and I would scream when I got them at the top of my voice. I'm sure they could have heard me into the next village. It was a good thing I was in India, or I would have wound up in a straitjacket. This is true. And then I would be taken down into the depths of hell within myself, or the subconscious mind, the place of the dead, that which is buried in your consciousness. And I was made to face much, not only in this life, time that I had experienced, but also I have seen visions of other incarnations and the reasons for things and the people, some of whom I have been with in this lifetime. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you think of reincarnation as an absolute truth, because indeed it is. You come many times before you can gain your perfection. You're certainly not going to do it once with the tremendous attachment you have to your five senses. You come time after time. And yet, when you see some of these visions, when you meet people, and even people that don't know anything about the metaphysical life or the spiritual life, feel that they have seen a certain person or been a certain place before, it gives you to think. When you think that all of these threads are woven into the same pattern, and that whatever you did with regard to that individual in another incarnation is continuing on in this incarnation in some form or other until you get it worked out, until you pay the price or gain the reward for it, until you purify it, and until you release your human ego from the attachment to that thing, regardless of what that attachment be, whether it be one of love or one of hate. You've got to go through it, because you've got to rid yourself of all of the humanness within yourself before you can attain this great life. You must go through the crucifixion, which is the transformation of your particular self, this little human ego, which must be glorified, from the human into the divine. You have to give up the ghost before you can be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost or the divine ego. Now, as long as you're on this earth, you're living in a human body, and therefore you are both human and divine. You are still using your five senses. You are still with the same personality as you had before, the same habit patterns in many cases as you were before, but they are an unconscious thing. You're not catering them to them as you did before. They just come with the new birth. And you consider that to be the old life. And now you are about to have a new life in Christ, heir with Him, with complete dominion over all the things of heaven and earth, first within yourself, and then working with God's will, tuning in and tapping His fountainhead of all wisdom, of all knowledge, of all spirit. There comes to you whatever you need. Believe me, this is true. I have proven it time and time again. My whole life is this way. It is beautiful. It is wonderful. But the price must be paid. All of you who say you love God, all of you who say you are followers of the Christ or Krishna, or whatever name you want to call the Son of God, who is that one who first came from the union of spirit and of nature. The spirit was projected into the womb of nature and took on a garment of flesh, your flesh, my flesh, everyone's flesh, and dwelt among us. It's a tremendous thing when you think of how wonderful this is. And it is also tremendous to think that you, if you are truly sincere in your hearts, in your minds, in your souls, about wanting self-enlightenment, about wanting this union with God, will do whatever is necessary to cleanse yourself, to straighten yourself up, to change your ways, which first begin in your thinking, because don't forget that everything begins with an idea first. You cannot possibly think of a person, of anything, unless you create an image of a person, a place, or a thing. And know that every thought, every word, every action that you speak is written in the book of life. And that your Father knows even to that, to a sparrow that falleth, what is happening in this creation. Why? Because it is happening to Him. Because, as Ram Dass said, it is God who has taken on His human form. It is God who is playing the fool. It is God who has imprisoned Himself. And it is God within us who must release Himself from this human ego, which is pure delusion. Because man is entirely divine if he would only know it. He is a God-man, and still he chooses time after time to crawl along the earth like a worm, to be trod upon, to be a slave instead of a master. How tremendous it is to be a free soul, to be a master of yourself. Now, do you think that there still won't be trials and tribulations? Believe me, they come, and sometimes much more abundantly, in greater degree, much more ferocious than you ever had before. They attack you in every way to make you give up what you have accomplished, what you are doing, and what you hope to do. they do that. And sometimes they come so strongly that even the strongest one's head bows for a moment. But you see, the test is, how do you come out of it? Do you overcome it? Do you keep on going no matter what with unbent head? Do you make up your mind that man is less powerful than God and has no power to hurt you? Or do you give in to him? And do you give up all of the good that you would do in order to cater once more to that dragon who has been set back again on the throne, or the beast has been? It is so easy to do. But what a challenge. What a tremendous adventure. It is wonderful. Jesus knew that his hour had come. And yet he looked forward to it because he knew that his human ego, that which was not real within himself, was going to be transformed. And that the Son of Man was going to be glorified and would indeed become the Christed One, the Glorious One, the Son of God, filled with all of the power, the glory, the intelligence, the peace, everything he would have. Is it not worth the paying the price for? Of course it is. Just look at it and reach out for it. You know, it is true what it said in Ron Less's article about the spiritual family. Master many times made the same statement. Those who are around the Guru are indeed the close spiritual family. I feel this about each and every one of you. Some of you are with me more than others, it is true. But all of you are my children, my family. And you're very, very special. As you know, there are groups outside of Seattle. And they too are a spiritual family. And my love for them is equally as great. I don't exclude anybody, because this is God's religion. And every single man, woman, and child in this universe is a member of our congregation, whether or not they want to be or whether they believe it, because we are all one in God. We all have the same one Father God. His love is running like a thread of gold through the hearts of each and every one of his children whom he has created. But some do not yet have the consciousness to realize who and what they are in God. They are still in the infancy of their understanding. They are still in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth grades of school. They haven't graduated from the university yet. They haven't gone on for their doctor's, their master's degree. But they will, because it comes to every man. Now, this fear comes upon us sometimes as we think of the things that must be gone through. But how do you know what you're going to go through? Do you think you're going to have a bad time because somebody else did? You know, we're always borrowing trouble. But supposing we do have a bad time. Look at all the wonderful and the good times we have had. Supposing you do have to pay with a little pain, with a little suffering. Think of the tremendous knowledge, the tremendous realization that's going to come out of it. And is anything that you buy that is worthwhile bought without a price? Today the price is tremendous. I would rather pay the tremendous price in the Spirit, because I know that the gold of the Spirit which I will get is the gold that I can take with me when I can't take another thing that this fool's gold that we talk about and deal with all the time tries to sell me. I can't take that with me. All these things are put here for our temptation, to have our minds fixed upon possessions, upon things, when the mind should be fixed upon God alone. And when you fix it upon him alone, you fix it upon all things, because he embraces all. All came from him. And you are not limited. And you will never die. It says that you will have life eternal. Because when once you have attained this state of freedom within yourself, when once you have realized God within yourself, then you are freed from this life. You go on to the astral world and you go through the necessary experiences there, and you are freed from that world. You go on to the ideal world and you are freed from that after the necessary experiences. And finally you become one whole being, completely liberated. And you can go and come at God's will. God is the chief arranger of these things. He makes up the schedules. And so he makes this one the savior of this planet. The other one the savior of another planet. And he sends men, sends himself in the form of man to enlighten and uplift man's consciousness. And whenever there is great evil upon the earth, it is said in all of the scriptures that one such one comes. And it is tremendous if we are given the privilege. Believe me, he is indeed privileged who has had the experience of having such a one cross his path in a lifetime. It is wonderful. I feel that way about my guru. He was absolutely a God-man. And every day I realize more and more his greatness in God. How wonderful, how beautiful, how great his love was for God. He had his own special way of telling things. He was like a little child in so many ways. Like, for instance, one day he was meditating and he decided that he had a desire. I think the story began that he had forgotten God for 3 days once, he said. I don't know how you ever could forget God the way he was, but this is what he said. And he got so busy with the work for God that he forgot God himself in doing the work. Although in truth you can't separate them. And so he said, he belabored himself about the fact, and he said, Lord, I don't want to forget you ever. He said, your work, nothing is more important than you. And all of a sudden, he said, God said to me, what do you want? And so he said, a whim came over me, and he said, I want to see Krishna and Christ. And he said, just like that, both of them appeared before me with a background of gold. He said, but doubting Thomas that I was, I didn't quite believe it, so I said to him, well, show me again. And so God told him that when he left the room, that the fragrance of the lotus would remain in the room afterward. And many came and said, told him that they had smelled this strange and wonderful fragrance afterwards. This is the way he used to test, and I've many times heard him talk this way. And it was beautiful to listen to him. He had such an intimate relationship with God. Well, I have one myself. I've many times told you about how I am with him. I talk to him and he answers me. And believe me, he answers me. But it is wonderful. Sometimes we have lots of fun. Sometimes we get very, very serious. But other times he lifts me up beyond my ability to tell you. And I am filled with this strange perfume, this ecstasy, this bliss of his infinite presence. I invite you all to share it. There is nothing I won't do to help you to the best of my ability. Right now I'm having a tough time physically, as all of you know. But I am perfect in him. I am uplifted in him. The body isn't doing well, but I'm doing great. My mind is working as clear as a bell. I feel filled with inspiration. I think of all the work I have to be done, that has to be done. And I think to myself, you know, I just can't leave now because with the mountains of paper I have in my apartment, I'd be sure to go to paper hell. That's true. I just bet it would happen. And also, I think of those that would have to straighten it out after I got through. Or after I left, you know, and they wouldn't think, oh my God, what'll I do? Just let's make a great big bonfire. And that would be too bad because there are some wonderful things in all of this, which I hope to get straightened out, which I'm always hoping to get straightened out. But another place in one of his writings, Master talked about the unfinished symphony. He said that no master ever has an opportunity to finish everything that he came to give. Because each one, if they be a true master, comes with the sole purpose of uplifting mankind. Not for their own benefit, but for the benefit of God in every single creature on the earth. And yet, human nature being what it is, the individuals don't always want to go as fast as the master would like to take them. So they have to come back again and again. So there's always an unfinished symphony. But you know, one day, it has to happen. That symphony is going to be finished. And oh, what a grand orchestration it's going to be. It's going to be tremendous. And can't you just vision it in the golden age, which will be many incarnations from now? But we are perhaps the beginners of this. And yet we don't have to wait for that, you see, because we can get it right in this lifetime if we only will. But I'm speaking of humanity as a whole. Won't it be wonderful when you don't even have to speak if you don't want to, or when you can communicate mentally, when everyone is on the path to God, where everyone's consciousness is fixed upon Him, where there's nothing but peace and service and wonder? There'll still be opposition, because it still will be a dual world, but it will be a different kind totally. We won't have all of this violence, this lower type of opposition that we get. It will be tremendous. And the reason they call it the Golden Age, because it will be the age of the Spirit. Well, where masters will rule the earth, and not presidents or kings or any officials, but just masters. Men of God. That is a beautiful thought to think of. And we can reach out for it. And no matter how young or how old we are, what difference does it make how many times we have to ply our boats back and forth between the shores of eternity? If we can help in our own small way to lift up humanity as a whole, to at least make a dent in it, you know? And as the army of God grows and grows and grows, as we work together in love and harmony, shoulder to shoulder, we can increase our numbers until it spreads all over the earth. And the way to do it is through love, through kindness, through turning the other cheek 7 times 70. But also to have the courage, when it is necessary, to use the love of the crucible. Once in a while, people need a spanking. Once in a while, they need to hear the truth about themselves. It wakes them up. It takes courage to do that, you know. It isn't an easy thing to do. But do it with love. Do it with love. Love is the thing that will change the world. First, love of God, and then love of God in each other. Never mind the human love. That comes of its own volition when you have the love of God. And that love becomes such a magnet that it draws everything within itself. I think I told you that when I went to India the last time, my husband said to me, "Now, Mother, you've got this terrible habit of hugging everybody. When you go to India, you can't do this anymore. You know, they don't do things like that over there, especially the men saints. They frown upon them, and they're a temptation to them. You can't do it." But, you know, I can't help it. My arms go out, and so the saints got hugged. Some of them kissed, just the same as right here, just like uptown, as they say. And, you know, they loved it. And they asked for more. It's true. It's absolutely true. And so I didn't find any difference, because, you see, the love of God is no respecter of persons. And so when God is in your heart and you pour forth that love, it is He that is doing it. How can you help yourself if you're totally surrendered to Him and He fills you with this and He puts out your arms for you? You can't help it, you know. And I haven't been slapped yet. So anyway, reach for your star. Reach for your goal. Glorify the Son of Man within yourselves. Make this holy season one of a renewal of all of your good resolutions. Through fasting, through prayer, through meditation. When I say fasting, I'm not just talking about food. I'm talking about other things. Your bad habits, for instance. Try to replace them with good ones. Make new resolutions that you're going to give God all of yourself, not the offerings that you have burnt up through overuse, and you give Him just the ashes thereof, but give Him yourself in all of your purity, in all of your love, in all of your worship, in all of your devotion, and see what happens. See what happens. You know, a good experiment, and some of the Orthodox churches use this method. They have what they call a 30-day prayer. I don't know whether it's a test, maybe. But anyway, two people get together and they're going to pray for one particular thing to come in manifestation. You see, God is cognizant of our human needs, of our human ills and sufferings and wants, just as well as He is of the divine. And so before a man can raise his consciousness to the spiritual level sometimes, he has to cope with these things that are causing him the most difficulty. He can't put his mind on God. And so these things have to be met and dealt with also. And so these two people get together and they agree upon what they're going to pray about. And they pray together or separately, but at least they're together in spirit, about the same thing every single day for 30 days. And you know, some of them have had fantastic results. Whole vistas have opened up. People who didn't have money all of a sudden got a raise in their salary, or some money was given to them unexpectedly, or some bodily ailment was healed, or it doesn't make any difference what it was. Their prayers were answered. It's a very interesting thing to think about it. Now, if you don't want to share it with anyone else, do it yourself. But give it everything you have. Don't make it half-baked, because it isn't going to come out of the oven done. You know, in order to have a perfect cake, you've got to bake it long enough. This is true. Otherwise, the cake will fall in the middle. And that's exactly where your prayers are going to land if you don't put everything you have in it. So do this. Try it out. I had a letter just today from someone who was having great difficulty in his business not too long ago. But he's been working on this power of the subconscious mind drastically, definitely. Now he has so much business, he doesn't know what to do with it all. He's going to have to hire new help. He's putting on more shifts and all the rest of it. You know, we penalize ourselves because we are so down in the doldrums all the time. It's true. Whereas if you really went to work at it, if you sat down and had a conversation with yourself and said, all right, I'm fed up with this thing now. I am the master of my destiny. All of this that is negative is going out of my consciousness and out of my life. I'm going to build only that which I want to see manifested, and you know it will happen. But it's not going to happen if today you do it and tomorrow you say, well, it was a nice idea, but I doubt nothing good ever happens to me. You know, I'm the original hard luck kid. It's not going to happen that way. You can't let down for 1 minute, because if you do, you are the cause of your prayers not being answered, not God. Because you have to open up your doors and windows and let Him in. Let your good come in. And it is waiting for you there, waiting to come to you in all of its abundance. Remember where it says that if you will only do what is necessary, that He will open up His coffers and pour forth such abundance, such greatness in every way, such treasure, that you will not be able to hold it. And this will come to you on every level of your existence. It will come to you socially, humanly, physically, and above all, spiritually. And the spirit is what you want, because it encompasses all other things. It came first, don't forget. And so you have to go back to that source. So glorify the Son of Man within yourself. Go up into the mountain of your own being. Look for the light of your own soul and come face to face with your own divinity. And you will find that you will never be the same again, that you will have made a new life for yourself that is so wonderful, so exquisitely beautiful, so glorious, that you wouldn't change it for all the world, that Satan himself couldn't tempt you if he offered you all the world, even as he did Jesus. Work at it. Work at it. And you will find that you are indeed God himself in human form.